Okay, we're continuing with our class on Gan HaShalom, the Garden of Peace, Rav Shalom Arush. We are in the chapter concerning putting your wife in first place. The most important thing in your life is your wife. And she has to know it, she has to feel it. If she doesn't feel it, you're not going to have Shalom Bayit. And I need to know, as a husband, how important she is to me. Because I can't fake it. If I try and fake it, she's going to see right through me. So how do I learn how important my wife is to me? So by reading this book, and by Hitbodhidut, by asking Hashem for help. It's not straightforward that a husband is just going to automatically love his wife. Hashem gives you something as a free gift. When you meet your wife, you will be in love with her. For sure, that's why she's your wife. But that is a free gift, and it doesn't last. You then have to work for it. You then have to earn it. And earning it comes through prayer, asking Hashem to help me love my wife. Help me be considerate for her. Help me think about her. Help me be kind to her. Help me want to be. Help me not be selfish. I have a big tendency to be selfish and put myself first and not think about her. Especially at pressured moments. When everything's going fine, everything's good, yuppie. But when things are pressured, from the good or from the bad, I can forget about my wife. Ask for Shalom. And the big Yetzer Hara. So I need to ask Hashem for help. But, and also advice in this book, which is going to help us realize the importance and the amazing nature of our wives. And one of those things is what we read yesterday, which, when I read it, blew me away. To an extent, Tov, I don't want to hyperbolicize it, but an amazing thing we read yesterday. Amazing, amazing thing. What did we read yesterday? We read yesterday the story of the Baal Shem Tov. What did the Baal Shem Tov say? The Baal Shem Tov said that if his wife, his first wife, had lived, I think her name was Hannah, Lina, if she had lived, he would have reached a level where he could have ridden on a flaming chariot to Shamayim in the middle of the market square of Mezibush. What was he saying? That's even higher than Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi went on a flaming chariot to heaven in the middle of the desert, and only his one student, Elisha, saw him. And the Besh said, I would have done that in the middle of the marketplace of Mezibush. If what? If my wife had been alive. If she'd lived, I would have got to that level. Not because his wife was some holy tzaddeket that was giving him huge powers from the fact that she was of descendants of... No. His wife was just merely his wife. What's he teaching us? Teaching us that the wife is the conduit, is the pipe through which all the bracha comes. If you want success in your learning, if you want to have good parnasa, if you want to have good health, if you want to have any bracha whatsoever, it's coming through your wife. A person who treats his wife correctly, respects his wife, cares for his wife, loves his wife, puts her in first place, gives her what she needs, he is then able to receive all the bounty, the shekel that Hashem wants to give him. And if he doesn't do that, then he's going to see that his life is not so hot, it's not so great, it's not so good. He's limiting himself. By being selfish and thinking about myself, I'm actually cutting myself off from the Kedusha. If I want to connect myself to the Kedusha, it has to come through my wife. All that goodness is coming through her. Amazing. So the Rav Arush continues, Elamikan Anulem Medim. From here we learn, Shekasher Adam Chai B'Shalom Im Ishto. When a husband lives in peace with his wife, Yesh Lo Chibur Ita, and he has connection with her, as I call a Kochot HaRachuniot, all the spiritual powers Shenechba'im B'Neshama that are hidden within her soul, Mitztarfin Elav, are joined to him, U'muvan Madua Hu Yachol Le'Tlalot, and therefore it becomes clear why he's able to then rise up. Ki bidyuk kamo sheyesh hevdel ben adam sheyesh lo regel achat or yad achat. Because just like, exactly like, in fact, exactly like there is a difference between a person who has one foot, one leg, or one hand, one arm. Dahaynu chetzi guf, meaning half a body. La'adam sheyesh lo guf shalem, to a person who has a whole body. The same thing too in spirituality. Adam she'ein lo chibur im bat zugo, a husband who does not have a connection with his wife, beinim zemach man she'eino nasui, whether because he's not married at all, bein shehu nasui aval eino shalom bayit, or whether he is married but he doesn't have shalom bayit, hareihu chetzi adam, he's only half a person, only half a man. You don't have shalom bayit, you have half the powers that you can have. V'chol shechem she'elu hakochot ha'atzurim v'isha hem atzumim u'miyuchadim ma'od. All the more so because the powers of the wife are very unique and very special. Afal pi she'etzal ha'bal hakochot hem b'galui yetzal isha hem b'sita. And even though, despite the fact that in a husband's talents and powers are usually on the surface, they're the fact that he's clever, and that's also on the surface because he lets you know about it, or it's because he knows how to drive a car very nicely and very fast and very well, or he knows how to play football, or whatever. The husband's talents are usually external. But the wife's talents are usually a lot more internal, hidden. And in particular, the first wife of a man, who is the complete zivug couple, the other half of the man, that she has within her the power to bring him to achieve high levels of spirituality. Lachen bika besht eshet nora. And that's why the Baal Shem Tov was saying, was upset about the loss of his first wife. She has that power within her to bring you to amazing spiritual levels. So be nice to your wife. Hamaskana hayotse lanu. The conclusion we get from here, when a husband wants to achieve spirituality, and in order to do this, he takes away from his wife what she needs, meaning that he takes away her kavod, her respect, and the feeling that she's in number one place. His end will be that he will lose it all. I said to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva, we said yesterday, said about his wife Rachel, said to his students, what's mine and what's yours is hers. That's what he meant. It's all from her. And it's not from the fact that without my wife, I wouldn't be here. Right? His wife was the one who brought him back from being a Baal Teshuvah and made him learn Hebrew at the age of 40, and right. So it's not the fact that she just put him on the right derech, right? If Rabbi Akiva had been married to Rachel and she put him on the right track, and he said, see you later, I'm off to yeshiva to learn now. And then they'd have got divorced or she died, for whatever reason she wasn't around. He would have spent the next 24 years drinking coffee, right? He wouldn't have, instead he spent the next 24 years in the yeshiva creating 24,000 students and learning all of the Torah, right? Even though he never saw his wife hardly in that time at all. But it was the fact that he was married to her. And if she wasn't there, he couldn't have achieved anything. This is a rule that returns on itself. If a husband doesn't invest the time to put his wife in the first place, not only will he not gain what he wanted to gain, he will end up losing more and more. Pagisha dechufa, an urgent meeting. Adam shemuchrach lalechet leizim bakom. So let's take an example. A husband needs to go to a certain place. Ketzad yinaheg imishto monatit oto. How should he act if his wife wants to stop him? Husband wants to go to a certain place. Wants to go to a football stadium, or a husband wants to go to a shiur, for example. Everyone can take an example which is most fitting for them, right? And the wife doesn't want to, doesn't think it's a good idea. How should the husband act in that situation? Hatashuvahi, the answer is as follows. Shetzarich ladad shehashem hu hakoveya im yelech o lo yelech. First things first. Husband have to know it's Hashem is deciding whether or not I go. It's not me deciding and it's not my wife deciding. It's Hashem is going to decide. If I'm there, it's because Hashem wants me there. If I'm not there, it's because he doesn't want me there. He is the one that's going to decide. So I can relax. Relax, it's not down to you. And you can relax, it's not down to your wife. You don't need to convince her, you don't need to convince your... Hashem is going to be the one deciding whether or not you're going to get there. Right? Just earlier today, Rav Hanan put up on the board the trip next Tuesday to Hebron. Wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to Hebron for a while now. Very exciting. And on the notice it says, you need to be here by 9 o'clock. And what went through my mind? Sometimes the bus is late, and I'm not here till like 10 past, quarter past 9. It happens sometimes later in the class at 9 o'clock. No, no. I'm not here till. I'm like, maybe I'll miss it. The bus will be late occasionally, and I'll miss it. And then I relax. If I miss it, it's because Shem doesn't want me to be there, and that's still okay. Like, relax. And I had to go through that process, right? Tell ourselves, relax ourselves, it's okay, Hashem's in control. If I don't get there and I miss it, I end up being here in the yeshiva by myself. And it's a good thing Hashem wants me to do 6 hours by myself in the yeshiva, that's what he wants. Okay, so first thing we need to know is Hashem decides if I'm going to the meeting or not. And the person, the man, needs to cancel his own will to that of Hashem. I need to accept, Tov, Hashem, if you want me to go, I'm going to go, and if not, I actually really want to go. But you know what? If you want, then that's okay. If you want me not to be there, that's also, I'm going to accept that 100%. That's first of all, before we even got to the wife, I have to go through that mental checklist. So first of all, what do I do now when I approach my wife? Now I tell my wife that she is the one that is going to decide. And if you want me to stay, my wife, then I'm going to stay. It's up to you, you decide. If you want me to stay, I'm going to stay. ויתכן לזה באמת. And I need to יתכוון. I need to intend this in truth. I need to mean it. Not just pretend like this is a game. Okay, if you want me to stay, I'll stay. Okay. Oh, you do want me to stay.
Oh.
Right? I'm playing the game and she knows it and I'm not going to win. Right? Because she's going to test me.
Well, but if you told yourself before it's all Hashem's will, then you say to her, it's all up to you, you can't really mean it, because you really mean it's all up to Hashem, you're just this... You're just this messenger.
Nahon, so you do mean it. You say, you decide, and whether you decide, I'm going to take as the word of Hashem, that that's what that's going to be. But you it's let like your wife has the feeling, you give her the feeling that she's decided.
Like you say, the Bohim and Tumi decide, but it's not them who decide, they're just showing you what Hashem wants to do.
We're giving her the feeling that she's deciding. Your leader to Ma'il, take off your coat. Everybody's sitting there in a coat saying, well, it's up to you, whatever you want, but I'm sitting here in my coat, with my bag on my shoulder, waiting for you to decide. It's no influence at all. Right? Yeshev le'yadav, or you sit next to her, etc. Don't stand by the door with one door, one hand on the handle. It's up to you. You let me go. Can I go? That's not really a decision. Right? I'm sitting down. I take my coat off. I'll put the kettle on. Whatever you want to do, I don't mind. But and at the same time, you should pray in your heart. And you should say the following: Ribono shel Olam, Hashem, Master of the World. Im ratzoncha she'elech, if it's your will that I should go, tem b'liba shel ishti lishloach oti b'simcha v'ratzon. If it's your will, Hashem, that I should go to this meeting, please put into my wife's heart a desire that she will let me go with happiness and desire to let me go, that she'll be happy about it. And if it's your will, Hashem, that I shouldn't go to this meeting, help me to accept with emunah this obstacle. And help me believe that I trust in you, that it's your will that I stay, and that I will be able to stay home happy. Need to ask Hashem for help. Because if I want to go, my wife says no, what am I going to do? Am I going to sit there with a long face, drumming my fingers on the table, saying, come, okay, I'll stay, okay. Right? Not going to be fun. I'm going to cause damage, even just by sulking, right? Not overtly. Tom, I'll stay, I don't care, you're right, I'm going to stay. And inside, I'm sulking. I'm in a mood. I'm quiet. What's the matter? Nothing. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm fine. Everything's good. I'm lying, right? Everything's not good. I'm angry. I'm upset. And I'm not telling you. And, Tom, I need to ask Hashem, because that's my Yitzhahara. That's a natural reaction, unfortunately, because I'm still in a very low level, right? And that's my natural reaction. I sulk. I need to ask Hashem, help me not to sulk. Help me to be happy with the decision. Help me know it's from you, and it's for my good, and it's really a good thing. And help me be happy with this. If I truly mean this, and I tell my wife these words, with a true intention, and I will give her the feeling that she's really in first place. Also, she's above this thing that I want to do. If I give my wife the feeling, in truth, that she is above this meeting, right? If I'm sulking, I want to go to a meeting. My wife doesn't want to let me go. What do I do? So first of all, I need to sit down and tell my wife, you're the one that decides. First of all, I have to know that Hashem is deciding, not my wife. Hashem wants me to go to the meeting, I'm going to go. And if he doesn't, I'm not going to go. And that's it. End of story. So I can relax. Then I need to tell my wife, it's up to you. You decide. And I have to mean it. And I can't sulk. And I can't get moody if she says no. I have to pray to Hashem. Hashem, if it's your decision that I should go, then please let my wife send me with a good heart and with happiness, that she should let me go with happiness and not just like, fine, go if you want, and be upset about it. I let her be happy about it. And if it's your will that I don't go to this meeting, Hashem, put into my heart that I accept your decision. And then I can be happy about it. And I'll stay here happy. And I won't be sulky and moany and moody. And if I do this properly, I'm going to benefit from two things. The first benefit is this. I will give my wife the correct feeling. And if the obstacle is from her side, if she's preventing me from going because she feels like she's been sidelined, she feels she's second best to this meeting, this thing that I want to do, she feels that she's not first place, and so she's the one who's preventing me. Now I'm showing her that actually, that she is in first place. I'm saying, no, you decide whatever you want, and I mean it. Whatever you want. If you want me to say it, then that's also good for me. So I'm now rectifying that problem. She's going to come back to understanding that she's actually in first place. As I call full of our die, she hits 10 all left. And therefore, it's almost certain that she's going to let me go now. So I'm going to fix that problem. The reason she was stopping me is because she wasn't feeling in the first place. Now I'm giving her that feeling. I'm rectifying the problem. I say, no, no. You know what? I'm taking my coat off. I'm sitting down. I'm putting the kettle on. If you want me to say that's also good, 100%. Sure. I am more important than the meeting. You're free. I'm back in number one slot. Top, go, go. Everything's fixed now. So that's number one benefit. Number two, the fact that I'm cancelling myself to the will of my wife, to what she wants, then in reality I'm cancelling myself to the will of Hashem. Right? Hashem is creating this phenomenon called my wife. That's Hashem sitting there next to me. So when I cancel myself to my wife, I'm cancelling myself to Hashem. And most of the time, that's exactly what Hashem wanted. And this is the reason why he was stopping me. Because I was getting all excited. I'm off to play football with the guys. I'm off to do a business deal. I'm off to whatever it is. I'm off to learn more Torah and tell everybody how wonderful, how knowledgeable I am. Right? All these things are the reason why Hashem stopped me going. Right? So actually, I now need to just cancel myself to Hashem, lose my arrogance, and then that will itself remedy the situation. That I'll humble myself. And then, therefore, it's almost certain as well that the obstacle will be nullified too. And if, even after all of this, she doesn't let you go, this shows you that there's another reason. There's another reason why she's stopping, why she, Hashem, is stopping you from going to the place that you want to go to. And I need to think about it carefully, to examine my actions, do a bit of cheshbon nefesh, a bit of hipodot. Why that's the case? Ki yma bao yo de la tetli shto taga shasha hiba ma komishon. Bein tacho wa bein a le bein hata basha tzarech lasot. Because if a husband is generally very good at giving his wife the feeling that she's in first place, and there is no competition particularly between my wife and this particular thing that I want to do, right? She doesn't feel threatened by it, right? So then, despite that, she's still preventing me. Even though things are generally good, she normally feels in first place. There's nothing particular about this that she should feel threatened by, and she still doesn't want me to go. As I kafi hanireh shamania he rak mitzad Hashem, then it would seem that the opposite call is really coming from Hashem. And then I need to concentrate on prayer and to have thoughts of tshuva. If it's actually something, then it's something from Hashem is stopping me doing this, and I need to understand why. If it's obviously bad, like I want to go and watch the football game, I'm calling that obviously bad. It depends where we're holding, but right, if it right, then Tom, I don't need to do a lot of cheshbon nefesh to realize, you know what, it's not so good that I go down to the pub with the guys. So my wife is probably right. So it shouldn't take a lot of cheshbon nefesh. But if it's something else, it's a shiur, right? The Rav's giving a special shiur. It's a one-off, and I'd actually like to go. It sounds like a good thing, you know. He's giving a shiur on a topic that sounds interesting, and my wife doesn't really want me to go. And this is not like normally she lets me go. She doesn't want me to go. Right? So I need to do a bit more cheshbon nefesh. What exactly is going on here? This is from Hashem. Why does she want me to go with? Because it's not clear. So then I need to see what exactly is going on.
Well, it's the 11th of September 2001. You want to go to the World Trade Center, and your wife's preventing you.
So, nachon. So, the imacharei kol b'chol, and if after everything b'chol zot nisheret hamaniya, if after I've done cheshbon nefesh, do tshuva, like there's nothing I need to do tshuva on here, Hashem, right? Because if you do tshuva, do cheshbon nefesh, then maybe she'll let me go anyway. If it's, we're talking about for like 5 minutes. It's like tomorrow night or whenever next week I want to go to Hebron with the guys, and my wife's like, no, I don't think you should go. I go, I really want to go. Why is she not letting me go? So then I've got a week to do tshuva and like work out what is it going on. Ah, Hashem, you want me to do tshuva on the fact that I know I'm not treating the tzaddikim properly. I know, whatever it is that occurs to me that I need to do tshuva. And then she'll let me go, right? But even after all that, I've done a cheshbon nefesh, and I can't find what the reason is. Sarichu l'hitbatel l'hashkacha. I need to cancel myself to hashkacha. This is Hashem's hashkacha. U'l'sha'er b'bayit b'simcha. To stay at home happy. U'barat son tov. And then with a good desire, good happiness. U'mishi yodeh eiza tovot Yeshua yitzmechu mikach. And who knows what good's going to come out of this. B'hu yireh etzeh achakach. And I'm going to see afterwards. There's a good reason why. There's a really good reason why I'd like to go. Either because, chas v'shalom, it stopped me from getting into a problem with trouble or whatever. Or because it was a really great thing that happened. The fact that I stayed at home on that day. V'chule, v'chule. And it's Hashem's chashkach. But either way, I can remain happy throughout. Listen to your Rav is the next heading. Maaseh she'aya im harabi mirostov. This is a story that happened relating to the Rabbi of Rostov.
Poland,
yof. Shenatan l'tamidav tikkun. He gave his students a tikkun, a remedy. Somewhere over there. Rostov. Shekol Chag Sukkot, that every Chag Sukkot, Yichagagu ba'ayara mishuyemet, that every Chag Sukkot, they should go and spend the Sukkot in a certain town. Hanim said, Harachek b'mizrak Polin, that was found far to the east of, in the east of Poland, Polish town. Kashesi ba'alehem zot. And when he told them this, he instructed them to do this. His hirotam, he warned them, Shalehem the Kayemzo, that they should fulfill this Miblilit Khashir Bishumaniya, without paying attention to any obstacles in the way. That's what he said. It's interesting, you'll see from here that it's basically a story about going to Uman. But he could have picked the Rebbe, but it's the same with the Rebbe Brosaf, I think, just to keep it kind of non-partisan, right? But you can exchange the names. You'll see why. It's still about Shalom Bayit and listening to your wife and whatever. So it still works either way. But anyway, the story is told also about the Rebbe of Rostov, who also had a place to go to on a Chag. So, Yofi, Chag Sukkot to this place in Poland. Kashieti, okay, and he said, don't let any obstacles get in your way. Achad Mikorovav had Sirim Shilarabi. One of those younger ones who were close to the Rebbe, one of his students, Shagar Rachok Ma'od Miota Ira, that lived far away from that plant, from that town. Hodiya Lishto told his wife, Shebet Sibuya Rav, that by the Rab had commanded them, instructed them, Hula Yiye Ima Bachad Sukkot. Sorry, I'm not going to be with you on Sukkot. The Rebbe said I need to be in the town, in that town over there. That's where we're all going. Hula Hashem Lishol Madata. He didn't even consider to ask what her opinion was on the matter. It was simple. In his eyes, his rabbi asked him to do it. There's nothing to ask, nothing to talk about. Ulam ishtar lo eskima, but his wife did not agree with him. Klal at all. She yisala that he should go. And he would leave her alone during the festival. Va'af nifga'amod, and was even very upset. Me'etzem kavnato la'zobota, from the fact that he wanted to leave her. Atamin lo nifal, the student was not bothered, upset, put off. He was not thrown by this. Rabbo amar lo befeirush, his rabbi had told him explicitly, Shalolit Khashir Bashumniya, that he shouldn't pay attention to any obstacles. But who it kaven la kayem it sivo ya sheye. And he intended to fulfil the word of his rabbi, come what will be. Whatever will be will be. The Khid Sarechula Vakesh at Ushuta Shalisha, and a what that he should need to get the permission from his wife. That Toshel Mi Yote Khashuba, the opinion is whose opinion is more important here? The Torah Harachava Shel Rav, the opinion of the wide opinion, the expansive knowledge and opinion of the Rabbi Shekol Devarav Divrei Elokim Chayim, that all of his words are words of the living God, or the Atakala Shel Ishto, or the simple mind and a simple opinion of my wife? Not a contest. That she sees in front of her eyes, only this world. She only sees what's comfortable for her. And thinks only of herself. Right. So we've got the opinion of the Rebbe. The Rebbe can see the whole big picture, and he says, come. My wife, who doesn't know what she's talking about, she sees that she's going to be a bit lonely for the Chag, she'll have to go and stay with the parents. But what does she know? Oh, I understand, but that's, can't compare. Gotta go with the Rebbe, says the Talmud. But Kach Nasa Talmud, and so the Talmud went, Lota Ayra, to that place, Lolo Rishuta Shalisto, without the permission of his wife. Brave man. When he came home, he found that that his actions had put into his wife a very strong opposition against him and against his Rebbe. Not surprisingly, when he came home, he found his wife was very angry against him and against his Rebbe. He kabaloi laita isha hachaviva sheikir. She was already not the wife, the loving wife that he knew. Hakavod shala nifka koka. Her honor was so damaged. Ad shekola shana he asalo etamavet. So that all year long she made his life hell. Hizifa lo panim. She was very angry towards him. Dibra ra'ot al alav v'arabo. She said not nice things about him and his rabbi. Lo alcham lemikveh v'chulei. She didn't go to the mikveh at all, etc., to make his life really horrible. V'chlal si'ira otot sa'agadol. In short, she made his life suffering and suffering, a lot of suffering. Kamuvan, of course, she ota talmid yada v'tochli bo shegam b'shana haba u'yisa. Of course, that student knew in his heart that also the next year he was going to go. What can he do? His Rebbe said, must be a test from Shemayim. Badag, and he worried, Maya, what's going to be if it was like this after the first year? Right? And okay, I had the excuse to think that maybe I didn't know how she's going to take it, she'll forgive me, whatever, and now I saw she really just, and now you want me to go again? What's it going to be then? After, if I try and go again, oi vahoi. Mi yodeh la'av yagiu adorim. Who knows where these things could end up? Aval Hashem richem alav. But Hashem had mercy upon him. V'zimen lo et Rabbi Shlomo Hirsch. And sent him Rabbi Shlomo Hirsch. Mishaya Rabbo b'yalduto. Who was his rabbi when he was a kid. Shalom Harish. Actually, Arush is actually Harush. It actually used to be Harush. Used to be Harush and changed to Arush. Harush is what's his name?
Harush or Arush. It's more Moroccan for someone who plows the field.
So, Shalom Harish is Shalom Harish.
No, the person who's doing the plower.
Yeah. Yeah. You should tell him the chiddush next time you do the last. See if he, see what he says. Yofi, nice. So, someone who was, he was the rabbi of this student in his childhood. Kshe'od haya na'a katan halomed alef bet v'yecheda. He taught him alef bet in cheda, Yofi. That was his rabbi. Rabbi Shlomo ze haya adam chador emuna. He was a man of strong emuna. Pshuta, ubao midot niflot, and a man of wonderful, top, a long beard, nice pair, top. Vayalo gam nisayon rav im surze shel avreichim tzirim, and also had a good experience in dealing with young avreichim, young yeshiva students. Shem amnam nilhavim labot Hashem. That they were, that despite the fact that they were full of desire, burning for Hashem, aval ein lahem shalom bayit, but they didn't have shalom bayit. Bezrat Hashem, we will see tomorrow how he resolved that.
What?